tonight a book, Daniel Gordis's book. I believe it's called How Israel Can Win a War That May Never End. And something struck me in the book that kind of spoke to me, got me very inspired. He was talking about how Yom HaAtzma'ut suddenly screams out Am Yisrael Chai. By virtue of the fact that we are living here, by virtue of the fact that we have a country, by virtue of the fact that we've returned here, without any words, that historical event, the mitzias of the world, just the way, what we have in front of us, screams out Am Yisrael Chai, that the Jewish nation perseveres and is living and is continuing and progressing. There's a pasuk in the Parsha, which I once heard a little varna, which I think very much echoes this idea. At the end of the Tochacha, in Parsha Bukhokosai, in the end of the terrible, literally horrific, unbelievably difficult events that occur to Klai Yisrael, if they sin, the pasuk says, but don't worry, v'zacharti es priest Yaakov, v'af es priest Yitzhak, v'af es priest Avram, Ezkar, the Haaretz Ezkar. You can hang on to the bris of Yaakov, the bris of Yitzchak, and the bris of Avram. And even if you don't have that, at least you have the bris of Eretz Yisrael. And there are people in the world today who are maintaining their Jewishness and are going to raise Jewish children, even though they're totally disconnected from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, merely by virtue of the fact that they are connected to Eretz Yisrael, that they're living here. Because the intermarriage rate here is so much lower than any other country in the world. The gap is just so high between the intermarriage rate in every single country in the world, with the exception of on one hand and Israel on the other. So in a certain sense, Hashem is retaining the bris with Klal Yisrael just for being in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Am Yisrael Chai screams out. That's what Yom HaAtzmaut screams out. There's something to that. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, a quote that I liked a lot, our history is a strange one. It consists of divine promises, but at a slow pace. God promised Avram the land, and it was not given to him. Hundreds of years passed, but eventually, it was indeed fulfilled. And in a certain sense, it requires patience to come for the Jews to come back there to Israel. But again, Am Yisrael Chai, and not just are we surviving, not just are we living. Rabbi Soloveitchik's point is really a second dimension, that it's the prophecies are coming true, that the destiny is coming to fruition, that Hashem's word is being carried out. Parenthetically, that's really what Sefer Yehoshua is all about. Hashem promised Klal Yisrael to go to Eretz Yisrael. A lot of that's Sefer Yehoshua. Hashem promised again in the Nevi'im, you'll come back, and that's what we're living through today. But being that Yom Yerushalayim is upon us, I wanted to briefly speak about what Yom Yerushalayim is about. Because Yom HaAtzmaut is about Jewish survival. Yom HaAtzmaut is about the prophecy being fulfilled of Klal Yisrael returning back home. But Yom Yerushalayim, I think, has two different elements to it. In other words, there are two different aspects that are couched into the etz of the day of Yom Yerushalayim. What is the connection to our history? It's not just any city, it's a city that the Beis HaMikdash stood in. It's a city that Avram brought Yitzchak up on the Akedah to. It's a city of the Avos. Yom Yerushalayim celebrates the victory of the Six-Day War. It's a day that connects us to our history. It's not just Yerushalayim, that was one back then, it was Hebron, certainly the Ir HaAvo, where they're buried, where they lived. Yom Yerushalayim is a day that connects us back to our history, back to our tradition. Sadly enough, people in Eretz Yisrael today who don't celebrate Yom Yerushalayim don't feel that connection as strongly. Outside of Yerushalayim, and certainly the secular world, the feeling on Yom HaAtzmaut versus Yom Yerushalayim is significantly different one from the other. Unfortunately, you don't feel Yom Yerushalayim enough in Tel Aviv. And it's true, it is Tel Aviv, it's not Yerushalayim, it's not the right city. But still, it's a huge percentage of our country, it's the country's capital. But I think the problem is a little bit deeper. I think Tel Aviv, they feel, Tel Aviv is a European city. Tel Aviv, you feel progress, you feel high tech, you feel wealth. I think Tel Aviv is the 14th most expensive city in the world to live in, at least like 2 or 3 years ago. At the time, I think Moscow was number one, if anyone's interested. I think London was number three, I forgot what was number two, it was Tokyo or something like that, Hong Kong, something in the Far East. I think Tel Aviv was 14, I think New York was 24. Again, these things are, you know, judged based upon several things, but it's an up-class city, it's a progressive city, it feels modern, it feels, it's the Israeli Hollywood, it's the, you know, you feel a sense, it's a European city. And I feel sometimes it's difficult to connect with Tel Aviv to the past that you can connect with Yerushalayim. Sometimes they feel Yerushalayim is a religious city, and Tel Aviv is the high-tech, you know, economical city. And the gap is growing greatly, and although they're only an hour apart drive, a 40-minute drive apart, nonetheless, sometimes you feel that culturally the two worlds apart. It's shocking. I don't know of any other two large cities that are in the same country, which are culturally so different, yet so geographically close. Maybe thinking of Washington, Baltimore, Washington has a feeling of itself, but not even close to the gap. The gap is close. And it's something that we have to do in terms of building our future. To connect the two, to connect the cultures, to connect the people, to join us as one people. Certain people can live wherever they want. Certain people can have different ideologies and different values. Certainly, Yerushalayim should connect more towards our history. The city should connect, but the people in the entire land should value that connection. The truth is that the Yerushalayim people should value properly progression, taking the country forward. It's a bit of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not just making aliyah and walking down the aisles in Eretz Yisrael. It's also about building economy and building commerce and building proper malls and building an economical system that works. It's about building the military. It's about developing a proper country on all the levels, which Tel Aviv very beautifully represents. So part of Yerushalayim is connected to that history. But the reason why we're celebrating is not just because we got back the land which represents the history, not just because we've got back the land which represents and contains Makom, where the base of Mikdash, was, but also because it contains and is the land where the base of Mikdash will stand again. Yom Yerushalayim is not just a day about history and the past. It's a day about our dreams. It's a day about our destiny. It's a day about the future. There's a beautiful comment that the Radak has on Tehillim, the part of Tehillim that we say in Hallel, not mistaken, it's Perek Kuf. Yud Ches, the end of Hallel, we say, Evin Masu Habanim Haisal Rosh Pina. The Radak explains the Evin is Klal Yisrael, is Am Yisrael. The Rosh Pina is a cornerstone, it's a turning point. Until now we've been cast aside, and now the nations will recognize, or now that we've become the Rosh Pina, they will recognize our centrality. And that's Ne'es Hashem Ha'isazosin Flos Benu. It's miraculous how Klal Yisrael literally came out of Auschwitz and became a predominant center nation, with a strong economy and a strong commerce, a strong medical field, and a strong overall government and military. They'll recognize that it's Me'es Hashem Ha'isazos. And more than that, Zayom Asa Hashem Nagilav Nismachavo, they'll appreciate that Klal Yisrael on this day has moved forward. They'll come to Yerushalayim, argues the Radak, and they'll say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem, because they're greeted to Yerushalayim. Irach Nuchemi Beis Hashem. The Beis Hashem is referring to literally 400 feet down that way in Yerushalayim, the Malkum Beis HaMikdash. And they'll say, Hail Hashem, V'yar Eladim Yishuchag, V'chos Merkarnas Mizbeach, they'll recognize the Mizbeach, they'll recognize the Karbanos, concluding with Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Liolim Chazdo. In other words, Yerushalayim is not just our history, not just our past. It's the dream for our future. It's where the Beis Hamikdash will stand. It's where the nations will come. And they'll bring their karbanos. The nations will come in Because Yerushalayim is supposed to stand as the place where Hashem connects to the world from. And nations want to come and serve Hashem here. Can. I was watching a YouTube video a few weeks ago, and it made the point that Yerushalayim, only since Klal Yisrael has taken over, has been the first time in 2,000 years where there's freedom of worship, where nations can come connect to God. And that's part of the value we have, to serve as a nation which represents a city, in a city, that can show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. We're celebrating on Yerushalayim the military victory and the tremendous miraculous nature it took place in. We're celebrating the connection to Yerushalayim, the connection that our Arbos had to Yerushalayim. But we're also celebrating our future. We're celebrating our dream. We're celebrating our destiny. We're celebrating steps towards building the Beis HaMikdash. May I have a good day. Have a good day.